I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you, God, what you've already done in this service, God, and what you're going to continue to do tonight, Lord. Lord, I pray, God, that the preaching of your word, God, would go forth, God, that it would be powerful, God, that it would be anointed, God, that, God, you would touch the lives and heart of each and every person that's in this room, God. Lord, I lift up all the churches that are preaching and teaching your gospel, God, all over the Inland Empire, God, really all over the world, God. If they're preaching your truth, God, bless them, God, the same way you bless us. So, Father, we thank you, God, for what you're going to do. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. So tonight I've titled this message. If you're taking notes, I'm going to encourage you to write this down. The God who stands by us. Look at your neighbor and say, God stands by you. Look at your other and say, I don't know about you. No, I'm just kidding. Don't say that. Look at your other neighbor and say, definitely stands by you as well. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 2, we're going to look at this verse tonight. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this passage, but throughout my message, you're going to hear me reference this verse because God has given me some great information and great things that he wants me to bring out of the verse tonight so that we can take and apply to our life. How many know we could read the word of God and just read the word, but if we don't apply the word of God into our life, it's not going to do anything for us. Come on. We have to read the word, but also do what? Apply it to our life. And so tonight, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2, it says this: when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through what? I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, rivers of what? So right away we know that we're going to go through things that are deep in our life. We know right away we're going to go through troubles. We know right away we're going to go through issues in our life, right? And we know that we're going to go through what? Difficulties in our life. And then it says this: I will be with you when you go through the rivers of difficulty. You will not what? Drown. I can stop right there and talk about drowning and being released by the things of God, but I believe God has something more than just that tonight. Next part of verse says this: when you walk through fire, say fire. Fire. When you walk through fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not what? Consume you. In other words, when you walk through trials, when you walk through things in life, you're not going to get burned up. Why? Because the fire can't consume you. Why? Because the fire of God has already consumed us as believers. And when we walk with God and he's with us, nothing can come against us. We might face things. We might have challenges. We might have diagnosis. We might have problems. But guess what? There is no problem bigger than God. There is no issue bigger than God. There is nothing that you're going to face in life that God can't come right into the midst of it and say, oh, I got it. Oh, and by the way, I got you. Nothing you're going to face, because our God's a big God. And our God walks with us, our God talks with us, and our God stands by us. So in this verse, I want you to understand something. This verse centers around God's promises of protection and presence in times of trouble. So that means this, church, when you're facing a difficult time, when you're facing a time in trouble, when you're facing something that you don't know how you're going to get through, you need to know something. God's presence is there with you. And in the middle of the fire, God's presence shows up. When you're in the middle of a battle, God's presence shows up. Oh, and where the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom. Oh, come on, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom. Meaning this, where God is and his presence is, his Spirit's there, there's freedom in your life. Grab a hold of that. Get this, because you'll face something. You might be facing something right now. You might face something when you walk out of these doors. But if you remember God's in the presence and he's in that fire when you're facing it, if he's in it, he's not going to stop being there. He's going to take you through it, walk you through it, and get you to the other side. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, my God will take me to the other side. Whew. Oh, and on the other side, there's so much on the other side. See, all we see when we're stuck in things, let's just be honest. Let's be real tonight, right? All we see is, oh my gosh, I'm about to get through this. How am I going to get through this problem? How's this challenge? And it's almost like we're blinded like this. But if we would remove a blinder, we would begin to see God move. See, a lot of times the lack of our faith stops God from moving. Let me say it again. A lot of times the lack of our faith stops God from moving. Faith is the evidence of the thing that are unseen. Meaning we don't see what's happening, but we believe and have faith that it is happening. heard a story of a lady named Helen Keller. I didn't know who Helen Keller was until I really started like getting into this biography and reading and trying to learn about something different. Who likes to learn in here? Raise your hand. Anybody? I think it's important, right, that we continue to learn. But Helen Keller became blind and deaf when she was a child. But she didn't let that stop her. She didn't let difficulties in her life, what? Stop her. How many times in our life have we allowed something to stop us because it's difficult? I want you to think about this for a moment. How many times in your life, think about it, don't point at somebody, don't be like, that's you. It's not what I'm asking. But how many times in your life have you allowed a difficult thing or something you face and challenge to stop you from doing it? It could be as simple as going to work. It could be as simple as being challenged in a job and a project at work, and that project and job seems to be more than what you know, and all of a sudden it's challenging, so it stops you. Instead of you saying, you know what, I don't know this, but I'm going to go learn this. And as I learn this, God, you're going to give me the ability to do it. Because what God is what? He's with us. God walks what? By us. And he stands by us. So anyway, in this story, she became deaf and blind as a young child. But it didn't stop her from doing what she was continuing to do. And here's what she did. With the help of a teacher named Annie Sullivan, she learned to communicate and even went to college. She became a famous writer and activist, showing that she can overcome challenges if you don't give up. Church, can I say something tonight that might be a little blunt, but be real with you tonight? If you're in a challenge, don't give up. Overcome the challenge. If she was deaf as a child and she couldn't see as a child, but yet she finished and completed college with the help of a teacher, how much more can our teacher, Jesus, help us through our stuff? I get the educational side is great. I get she learned and she was taught, but Jesus can teach us so much more because he stands by us. He's with us. I love what C.S. Lewis says. If anybody loves C.S. Lewis, you'll probably hear this quote. C.S. Lewis says, "Hardships often prepare ordinary people for an extraordinary destiny." Some of the things that you're facing right now, that's okay, face it. Face it knowing that God is with you and God is walking through this with you. I want you to face it. God wants you to face it. Here's why. Those things that seem to be impossible in your life, God will make extraordinary in you and through you. And you'll be able to help somebody else going through it. I want to say that quote again. I want you to get a hardship. Say hardships. Often prepare an ordinary people for what? Extraordinary destiny. You know, we're ordinary people, but yet God has an extraordinary destiny for us. Come on, somebody. If you believe that tonight, tell Jesus you believe that. I'm an ordinary person, but I know God's got a destiny. You're an ordinary person, but guess what? You know God has a destiny for you that's extraordinary. Among what you could believe for, among what you could thought for, it's something God has placed in you, something God is going to do. You just got to step into it, believe it, receive it, and allow God to take you to that destiny. So tonight I want to talk to you about a few things about this. The God who stands by us. Despite what you're facing, God will get us through it and we will be overcomers. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm an overcomer. So how do we overcome these things tonight? Here's what we're going to do. The God who stands by us, number one is this. He protects us. God protects us. See, in the verse we just read, I want to highlight something to you. It says this, when you go through deep waters, I will be with what? You. When you go through the rivers of difficulties, I will not let you drown. See, this verse in the waters and the rivers represents something. There's an imagery that takes place in the scripture. There's an imagery that takes place in this, and it represents tough times in our life. And so God says, when you face things tough, when you go through tough times in life, guess what? I'm the God who protects. I'm the God that there. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In Psalms 91, it says, that means this. God is our protector in life. And he wants to protect you. He doesn't just protect you on Sundays. He don't just protect you on Wednesday because that's a church day. He protects you every day of your life. Why? Because God is with you every day of your life. I never heard God is just with me when I'm in church. Thank God he shows up in church, but God will show up in your car. Come on, somebody. If you know what I'm saying, I've been driving down the road before, and I've been listening to worship music, and I've been praying, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, shun-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And the people next to me are like, what is wrong with that guy? And I'm looking at him, I'm like, I'm good. Because if you felt what I felt right now, you would know that I'm good. See, you might have something else on your mind. I don't want to know, but I know what God was showing me while I was driving down the road. So this passage assures that God is our protector and that he guides us through challenging times. You know, there's a story in the Word of God, if you've been in church for a while, or even if you haven't, there's a story in the book of Daniel with a guy named King Darius. Woo, say King Darius. He's a mean guy. King Darius signs a decree that prohibits prayer to anyone but himself. In other words, this, if you don't pray to me, then I'm going to sign this decree and you are not allowed to pray to nobody. And if you do, I'm going to have you executed. I'm going to throw you in a den full of lions and let's see what happens while you're in there. You're going to get torn apart. But there's this guy named Daniel. Do I got any Daniels in this room tonight? No, I mean the name Daniel. I mean, do I have any Daniels in this room that'll pray through anything? That the decree's out there, if you pray, that your life is going to be taken. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, are you enough on the fire to be like, I'll pray through anything, whether you're going to take my life or not? I believe my God. I stand for my God, and I'm going to pray for it. That's a Daniel I'm talking about. And there's a guy named Daniel, faithful servant of God. Woo, I mean faithful. Because I don't know about you guys, but let's talk for a moment. If you pray to anybody else but me, no, please don't pray to me. I'm not saying that. But if you don't want to pray to me, then I'm going to throw you in a den full of lions. And boy, let me tell you something. They're not going to just throw you in lions that are full and not hungry. Come on. This ain't the zoo where you're visiting where they're trained. These are wild lions that we're going to throw you in there. And you're going to be on your own. And you're going to have to try to figure it out if you keep praying to your God. But Daniel, crazy as can be, he's like, I'm not listening to you. Get behind me, Satan. I'm saying, I'm not listening to you. I'm going to pray to my God. Because I know there's my God is going to deliver me and you'll see it. Talk about faith. Talk about being in the pit. Talk about being in the den. But yet you still have trust and belief in God? Oh, come on, church, listen. Our problems are nothing compared to your life being thrown in the den. And it's hard for us to believe God when you have Daniel who knows his life is threatened and he's going to die if he does what he continues to do, but yet he says, I don't care. I'll die even if I pray to God. I'll die because I believe and trust God enough in my life that even if I die, that's okay. But even if I don't, my God's going to get me through it as well. Whoo, come on, somebody, if you believe that tonight. So God protects Daniel to the point where he's unharmed. He's thrown in a den, full of lions, ready to eat him. But yet God protects him. Shut the mouth of the lion. Whew. I could just picture like this. Daniel's just chilling. Maybe not chilling, but he's in a den full of lions, and Daniel's in there. And the lions are over there just like looking at him, and Daniel just kind of walks up. Hey, buddy. Be good, kitty, kitty. Be good, because he had enough faith to know that God shut the mouth of the lion. And even if he got that close, it couldn't touch him. Because God's protecting him. Church, come on, God's protecting you. Maybe you're facing something tonight that you don't know how you're going to get through it. Guess what? God's protecting you. Maybe tonight you're in a challenge, you're in a difficult situation. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you're in this place tonight, you're trying to have kids and you can't have kids. Let me tell you something, God is protecting you and God will do what he wants to do at the right time in your life and God will come through if you see it. Oh man, if you're gonna clap, clap. Here's a question for you, what's in your den tonight? In other words, is what are you facing tonight that's bigger than you can handle, that's bigger than your thought life, that's causing you to bow to it, that's causing fear in your life? What are you facing? You're saying, God, I need your protection, and I need you to show up on my behalf tonight. What are you facing? Write that thing down right now. Write it down if God's speaking to you, God's showing you something. Because here's what I want to say. Whatever you're facing, it's okay. God's with you. Whatever you're facing, it might seem difficult. It might seem hard for you. But guess what? It's okay. God's with you. Whatever you're going through right now, you might be saying to yourself, Pastor Don, you don't even know what I'm going through. That's okay. I've gone through things in my life, and I've had to stand there in a gap and say, you know what, God? Whatever I'm going through, I'm going to face it, God, because I know that you're with me, and you never leave me nor forsake me like your word says. I love this passage in Psalms chapter 121. If you have your Bibles, go there with me. Psalms 121, verse 7 through 8. It says, the Lord keeps you from all harm. Say harm. And watches over your life. The Lord keeps and watch over you as you come and go, both now and what? Forever. That means right now where you're at and forever long in your life. Talking about the God who stands by us. The next one I want to speak to you about tonight is this, if you're taking notes. Gets us through the fire. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad I got a God that gets me through fire. You're like, that's a lot to say. I know it is. But look at your other neighbor and say, I'm glad I got a God to get me through the fire. Now say this with me on three. One, two, three. God gets us through the fire. Say it one more time. God gets us through the fire. Here's why. God gets you through the fire. The word said it like this in Isaiah chapter 43, if you remember, verse 2. If you remember, I said I was going to revert back to this verse so that you have an understanding of this, because there's imagery, there's things in here and principles that we need to get in our life. It says this, the whole verse, I'm not going to read the whole verse, just this part that's highlighted. It says, when you walk through the fire, should be right up here. When you walk through the fire, you shall not what? Be burned. Read this with me on three. All this stuff highlighted in yellow. One, two, three. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. In other words, it's this fire in this passage is a symbolizing and a challenge of tough times in our life. That means as believers, we're going to encounter things that are tough in our life. Just as fire purifies and tests, there's a representation in the word that fire is also facing difficulties without being destroyed. Whew, you know what makes me happy about that? Is this. I know that I'm going to face things, but I'm not going to get destroyed. You could walk out of this room tonight, and you could face something dark. You could face a challenge. You can go to the doctor tomorrow. You can get a report that you didn't want to hear. But if you know you're facing it, and you're going through the fire, and you know that God stands by you in the fire, guess what? You will walk right through it. For some reason, God just kept me in the book of Daniel in this message. I'm like, God, is there anything else you want me to talk about? No, I want you to go back to Daniel. Daniel chapter 3, there's a story of three Jewish boys. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Say Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now go home and try to memorize that tonight. No, just kidding. There were officials in Babylonian court who remained faithful to their Jewish faith despite the pressures they were going to conform to, the pressures that were coming against them. Here's what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they refused to worship a golden image, in other words, King Nebuchadnezzar, a.k.a. Nebi, was the one who said, listen, if you don't worship the golden image, I'm going to toss you into the fire. But when I toss you into the fire, it's not going to just be just the fire, but it's going to be seven times hotter than the normal fire. In other words, this, when I throw you in there, you're definitely going to burn to death. You're going to die. But God sees us through the fire. God gets us through the fire. And so what happens is this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they don't listen, and they're not going to bow down to the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to, so they don't listen. So all of a sudden what happens is this, he says, you know what? Because you're still doing this, I'm throwing you into the furnace. So he throws all three of these boys into the furnace, and while they're in the furnace, nothing happens. Wait a minute, Pastor, you mean they were thrown into a furnace full of fire and nothing happened? They didn't burn you? No, 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 no. Here's what happened. All of a sudden, there was a fourth image that was there. It wasn't, they threw three in, but yet when they came back to look, there was four in there. And so in the word of representation is a manifestation of God that was in the presence and in the fire with him. What I want to say to you is this, church, when you're facing a fire in your life, when you're facing something in your life that you cannot get through, and there's a difficult situation, and it seems like fire and it's ready to burn you, I want you to remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that when they were thrown into the fire, there was a fourth thing that showed up, and his name was Jesus. So for us, that means this. Hear me out. This is what it means. It means when I'm thrown into the fire and I feel like I'm going to get burned and I'm going to get called up and I'm going to be burnt down to ashes, I know this, that God is there with me and he's in the fire for me. He's in the fire next to me. Oh, and by the way, when he walks out, his arm is like this. A protection of you. Now, please don't go home tonight and try to light a fire and be like, God, where are you? That is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you're in something and you're facing something and you don't have an answer for it. And the enemy's playing racquetball with your mind. Do anybody know what I'm talking about? Having you going, ooh, everywhere. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In the fire. But in the fire, God shows up. Come on, church, if you believe that tonight. See, as they were thrown into the fire, not only did God show up, but God also got them out of the fire. That means this, when you're facing something and God shows up in your life and he shows up during the fire, guess what? He has something for you after the fire. Because sometimes we wonder why we face what we go through. Come on, anybody. And we ask, why God, why God, why God? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Why God, this is me. Why God, I got to go through this. Why me? And God's saying, you don't need to know why. Here's what you need to know. That I'm with you, I'm going to get you through it. And when you get through it, I got something greater for you on the other side. So here's what I want you to remember, church. Hear me, next time you're facing trials and your faith is being tested, because how many know our faith is going to get tested as we walk with God? Trust God's purpose, knowing that he is what? With you. Knowing he's with you. Here's what these moments do for us. They refine us and bring us closer to him. Believe me, I've had many situations in my life, even recently, that have taken place that has drawn me closer to God because of the fire refining me, refining what's going on in my life, refining me, but drawing me closer to his presence. And I begin to think, when I get closer to his presence, the weight gets lifted off. When I'm in his presence, I don't know about you guys, but when I'm in the presence of God, let me say it again, when I'm in the presence of God, nothing can interfere. I'm so drawn to him. Sometimes I'm like, I can't even move, but I'm in his presence. And then when I come out of his presence, I feel great. I feel like something just happened. God refines something inside of me. Burned something inside of me, got rid of something that I was dealing with, got rid of a thought that I had, got rid of a feeling that I may have felt. He got rid of it. Why? Because the presence of God just ripped it right on out. You know what's sad is this? Not this church, but I feel like the church has lost the presence of God in their life. And I believe in 2025, and please don't quote this, I'm not a prophetic person, I'm not saying it anyway, but I believe this, in 2025, there's going to be a prophetic move of God's presence in this house. I love what 1 Peter says in chapter 1, verse 6 through 7. It says this, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even through trials in our life. I have a hard time with that verse. Anybody else? Be glad, be joyful that I'm going to go through something. Until I read the rest of the verse and I understood what the verse said. It says so true. It says this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 7. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. Say little while. That means they can't stay forever. That means they can't last and lay there forever. That means they don't live and dwell in you forever. That means you might face something for a little while. Say little while. In a little while, guess what? That means it's got to go. But here's the thing. The little while depends on your faith through it. How long it stays depends on your faith while you're going through it. Come on. You might be in pain. Guess what? Tell yourself, you know what, God, I might be in pain. But I love what Pastor Dan said a few weeks ago. I love it. He said, start trusting God is going to happen before it happens. And when he said that, it hit me because I was going through things and I had some challenges in my life and I was facing things recently and I was going through this and I said, you know, God, I declare in the name of Jesus that I trust you that I'm going to walk in my healing. And I woke up this whole week feeling perfectly fine, worked out 4 times this week with no pain. Like, I go, God, you are healing my body. I know people have told me, I went to this thing the other night, this conference type thing, and this person says, bro, you look better than you looked a month ago. Because God's healing me. And you're in this place and God's healing you right now as we speak. Just start believing it and trusting it over your life. Listen, even when you don't feel it, God, I trust you that you're doing this. And you know, people, I know it is hard to do. Believe me, I get it. It's hard. When you feel pain all over your body, inflammation, you can't move, and all of a sudden you're like, God, how am I going to say this? But then you start saying, God, I trust you. And you start feeling it just shoo. Come on, man. Somebody in this room tonight needs to start trusting God for these things. So the next part of the verse says, these trials will show you that your faith is what? Genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Through faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when, say when, your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Church, we need to step into this tonight. We need to step into this place. We need to step into this place if I want that faith. We need to step into this place. God, I truly know that it's refining me, and if I go through this, it's just for a little while, just a little bit of time. But God, I'm having enough faith to get through it. Here's why. You go through one thing in life. I don't know about you guys, but this is kind of what I've recognized and realized in my life. God throws, you know, there's one thing. And I'm not going to say God does it, but there's a thing that happens in your life. And, you know, several years ago, I went through something that was very difficult. I saw a bunch of specialists at Loma Linda. Nobody could figure out what it was. And then all of a sudden, they thought they knew what it was. And they started these procedures. And then all of a sudden, I was at a job that had insurance. And I said, you know what? God said, leave that job, go to another one. I said, God, I don't want to do that. I'm in the middle of procedures, and I have insurance here. And I don't know when I'm going to have it at the other place. And God said, do you trust me enough? I said, God, I do trust you. So I put my notice in. I left. And I was supposed to have 3 more procedures done, but yet God healed me. Here's what I did. This is what I want to talk about for a moment. Here's what I did. I went through that in life, and then I went through something else in life. But the next thing that I went through in life, I was like, you know what? God healed me once. He's going to do it again. God walked me through this fire. He's going to walk me through this one again. And then I recently went through something, and I'm like, you know what, God? I'm at the point where it's like, okay, now what, devil, you want to bring on me? Because whatever you bring on me, devil, guess what? My God's going to kick your you know what. I didn't cuss in church. Don't be like Pastor Donnie. He's a cussing pastor. I'm not. I'm with your youth. Believe me, I don't do that. But sometimes we just need to let the devil know that we do want to. Right? And so as I faced the next thing, it was kind of like, you know what? My faith is being tested in every season of my life. Not just with health, but with finances, with kids, with grandkids, with everything I face in life, my faith is being tested. But here's what I realized. When I'm in the presence of God and the closer I get to God and my faith tests come, I get through them quicker. It's like, oh, this happened. Okay, I'm ready for the next one. Okay, this happened. Okay. Not that I'm like, okay, God, bring the next one. Yeah, bring Job on me. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, like, I'm ready for the next one, what comes at me. Why? Because I'm ready because I know God is with me. And if God got me through one, he's going to see me through the next. And if he sees me through the next, he's going to see me through the next one and the next one and the ones that come later on in life. Because that's the God that we serve, the God that stands by us. So in this verse, it emphasizes something that we need to understand, the importance of maintaining our faith and hope during difficult times. That means this. Maybe you're going to face a difficult time in this next season of life. Maintain your faith and hope in God, and you'll see God get you through what you're facing. Maintain your faith and hope in what God's done for you in the past, and what God's going to do for you in the present. And not only what God's going to do for you in the present, but he did it for you in the past, he did it for your present, now he's going to do it for you in your what? Future. Put your hope and faith in God. Look at your neighbor and say, put your hope and faith in God. Look at your other neighbor and say, you really need to start doing it. That leads me to my last one tonight, and it's this. The God who stands by us, number three is this. He gives us strength to endure. I don't know about you, but we need strength in our life. I don't know one Christian that says, I don't need strength as a Christian. I got God. Yeah, you got God. I got God. We all got God, right? That's not a real word. But we all got God. But here's the thing. We all still need his strength to get us through. I like this. Write this down. Our faith in Christ helps us to endure and persevere through difficult times and challenges. Let me say it again, because I'm not sure if that's on the overhead or not. But here's what I want to say. Our faith in Christ helps us to endure and persevere through difficult times and what? Challenges. In 1992, in the Summer Olympics, there was a guy named Derek Redmond. I love this story, and I love Derek Redmond. Derek Redmond was in the 1992 Barcelona Olympics. He was slated to be the gold medalist long distance runner. Long distance, I don't know how anybody can do that. That's a hard run to do. And here's this guy, he was slated to be the gold medalist. And he trained and he had determination and he ran. Do I have any runners in this room tonight? Raise your hand if you're a runner. Any runners in here? You know what it means like to train. There's like two runners in here. Oh, great. There's like, another one. Okay, good. Do I have any bodybuilders in here? Where are you all at? Where are my lifters at? You're all like, what? Someone raised their hand. Oh, okay, cool. Right on, girl. All right. Okay, I'm not going to get sidetracked. So Derek Redmond was slated to win the 1992 Olympics in Barcelona. And as Derek was determined, he had faith, he built it up, he trained. Matter of fact, his trainer said, this guy trains more than any athlete I've ever trained in my life. And his trainer has been a long trainer. He's an older guy. He was like, I've never seen anyone train like this guy. So as Derek Redmond was training and developing and just getting better and better and greater at what he does, he begins to run that race. He gets to that line and all the runners are lined up. And like I said, he's slated to win that gold medal. So they're all lined up. And as soon as that gun goes, they take off running. And this guy just outruns everybody. He's just going around the laps. He's doing his last final lap around. And as he's doing that final lap, out of nowhere, his hamstring snaps. Out of nowhere. Trained hard, ran hard. His trainer said, you were the best athlete I've had. You've trained a while. You've done this. You've done everything. The last lap, his hamstring goes, snaps, and he's not able to win the gold medal. But here's what it does. If you notice in this picture right here, this is Derek, and this is his father. Derek was in so much pain that he could not finish the race on his own. But Derek said, I'm not giving up. He said, no matter what obstacle happens, no matter what challenge I face, I got to endure and at least say I finished this race that I trained for and this race that I was slated to win the gold medal for. I got to finish it strong. And so the pulled hamstring, I don't know if anyone's ever pulled their hamstring, and it hurts pretty bad. I did it playing soccer when I was younger, but I didn't snap it like this guy. His dad comes out, lifts him, and begins to run across the finish line with him. Did you know that today reported, no one even talks about the gold medal he was supposed to win? They all talk about the race that he finished. Like nobody even cared that you were slated to win the gold medal. It didn't matter to nobody. What mattered was this. This guy, even though he had a snap hamstring, he could barely walk, he was in tears, was able to finish a race that he trained for most of his life. And he finished it knowing this, that I got to endure to the very end of the race. Whoa, wait a minute. Pastor, how does that relate to me? Listen, the runner's faith is in their training, and their determination gives them strength to keep going despite the trials and obstacles. But for us, say for us, our faith in the middle of a test and trials empowers us to keep running the race of life even when it gets tough. Come on, church. If you're ready to run that race, let's tell Jesus tonight. I love what James, the brother of Jesus, says. He reminds us of something in the Word of God. He reminds us to find joy during trials and difficult times. We see in the book of James a few things that he's teaching, that struggles and challenges can ultimately serve a positive purpose in shaping and strengthening one's faith. Let's look at it together. In James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, it says this: "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." Say, great joy. "For you now know that when your faith is tested, your what?" Your what? Say it again. Your what? Has a chance to what? Grow. So when your faith is being tested, guess what? Your endurance has a chance to grow. So the next time you're being tested in your faith, don't get upset. Can I challenge you? Don't get mad. Don't get so worried about it. Say, okay, God, help me endure this, because God, I'm growing in you. And as I grow in you, God, my faith level's going to grow. And as my faith level grows, God, I'm going to continue to walk life. I'm going to continue to walk through these struggles. I'm going to continue to walk through these things. Why? Because God, you are always by our side and you never leave us. See, it's easy to lose hope and give up during these things that we face. Come on, church. I'm not the only person that's been in this situation before. I know some of us can be transparent enough to say tonight, you've been in that place. You've been in that place. It's like, I've given up. I've lost hope. But as followers of Jesus, we need to remind ourselves and remember this, that we have a victorious faith. That he gives us strength to endure any test and trial and adversity that we face. Matter of fact, I love what Paul says at the church of Corinth, and he's speaking in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and I'm going to conclude with this tonight. He's speaking in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13. He says this: be on guard. Say, be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous and be what? Strong. Let's read this together on three. One, two, three. Be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be what? Strong. Church, I want to challenge you with this tonight. I want to challenge every one of us with this tonight, that we will be strong and we will stand courageous, and that we will walk and know that God walks next to us. God walks beside us. And if God is with us, nobody can come against us. And if he's there with us, guess what? He's going to walk us through it. If he walks us through it the first time, he's going to get it through us the second time, the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time. God's going to continue to walk you through these things. Here's why: you have a God that stands by us. Come on, if you believe that tonight, let's give God a praise. Yeah. Write this statement down. I have one statement I want you to remember. If you can't remember Isaiah 43, verse 2, write this statement down. This will help you remember the passage. The acronym is FAITH, F-A-I-T-H. Here's what it means: fearless, assurance, in God, through trials, hope. Church, if you guys got something from Jesus tonight, come on, let's give God a praise. Pastor Joel, come on up.
Awesome. The God who stands by us. Amen. Give the Lord a hand for that word. I love Sunday nights because it's such a faith builder. If you've come on purpose, you're here online, it's a faith builder. That's why we tell you to get into church, because there's so many things that discourage us. But how many are ready to give tonight? I want you to take a look. Yes. Come on. Give the Lord a hand. Take a look at this video of what you and we collectively have done throughout the nations. Check this out.
Hi, Rock Church. Pastor Paul here. I just want to bring you the last update of 2024 for missions. We've done such an amazing work around the world. Let me just tell you, over $200,000 have been invested in global and world missions from the Rock Church. And that goes to your account in heaven, according to the Word of God. And I just want to say thank you. You've done such an amazing job by investing in the kingdom of God. One of the things we do is that we connect with local missionaries in the countries they're working in. And we've worked in so many nations, from Mexico to India, to Bangladesh, to Germany, and more than 150 countries through the International School of Ministry. All that is done from the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. Here's a few testimonials of what we've done this year.
Hey, Rock Church, this is Josh Muse. I'm the director of Kaleo International here in Reynosa, Mexico. I want to tell you thank you so much for your support of Kaleo and the work we do here in Mexico, not just in Mexico, but in other parts of the world. So thankful to you, and we hope to see you soon. May the Lord bless you greatly.
Hi, my name is Al Fury. Several things that we do in Peru are, one, we feed the poor, because there's massive poverty across Peru. Secondly, we teach, train, and educate pastors of all kinds of denominations on how to grow their churches. So once again, thank you for what you're doing. This is a great, great mission field, and God is doing amazing, fantastic, wonderful things.
Hello, church. My name is Zhenya Kasevich. My wife and I, we do the ministry called Kasevich International. Our whole focus of our ministry is to help those people in the war situation. We were able to supply them with everyday needs through our ministry. You have been wonderful in supporting our hands so we could do what only Zhenya and Vera could do in this situation. Thank you, Rock Church, and stay blessed.
So, Rock Church, thank you so much for everything you've done throughout the year. I always like to share this verse, which is the Apostle Paul says, because you gave, there's an account in heaven of what you've done for others in missions. God bless you.
Wow. So I want everybody to stand. We're gonna quote this missions giving declaration, because not only have we been in the nations, actually all this weekend we've been doing outreaches on the streets and the prisons all over San Bernardino, and this missions declaration is a giving declaration that this church is sowing not only in San Bernardino but to the world, and that that fruit will remain. Now, just repeat after me. Say this: I give to build the kingdom of God. We are a local church with a global heart, desire to see people saved here in the Inland Empire as well as all over the world. We declare with open doors into nations, resources, and wisdom, grace and for the missionaries and churches and people blessed physically and spiritually, open hearts to receive the gospel. Amen. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Like I said, all weekend we've been sowing seed, and we'll have a recap video of what we've done all throughout the weekend. But if you're in need of a physical offering, there's an usher standing by. If you have a check or a cash donation, all you have to do is raise your hand and they'll get it to you. Behind me is all kinds of ways to give. I love the app. I love text to give. The simple ways, they're secure. They're, you know, free. If you download the app, it's free. But as you give, it's secure. So be rest assured that we protect that. We protect all your information. So let's pray over this offering, and let's thank God for what he's going to do with our seed to continue to spread the gospel all over the empire as well as the world. Father God, I thank you, Lord, today for all the seed sowed this weekend, all the seed sowed in the hearts of these children, all the outreaches that we've done here on campus and out in the community. Only you know. Only you know. All the toys that we were giving away, even today, to those children that have no one but you. You're the source. You're the source, and you inspire us to give in faith. And even though, Father, it might be a little, but to you, it's a lot. Or it might be a lot, and to you, it's compounded with interest, because you open up the doors and the windows of heaven that no one can, and you provide supernatural blessings and abundant harvest to those seed and those who sow that seed. So online, on campus, all over today, bless this offering. We do it in faith, and we do it to build the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we say amen and amen. Awesome, awesome. As the ushers are collecting the offerings, I have two announcements. We have an intensive with Pastor Deborah. It's a free course. It's actually, all you have to do is scan the QR code. It's actually a precursor to Bible College. So if you're interested in Bible College, we're providing a free course to for you. And it's it's an amazing class given by Pastor Deborah, and the class is designed to build your faith. It's designed to show you who Jesus is, and it's free. So all you have to do is scan the QR code, and if you're considering Bible college, okay, after there'd be a way to join, and consider to build your faith as you build the word inside of you. Also, Apostle Mike Keyes, the first weekend of the year, January 4th and 5th, he's coming. I love Apostle Mike. He's a man of God. He's amazing. He's all over the world also, but he's planted a church in, where? Where's Apostle Mike at? Philippines and also in, Arizona. I'm sorry. Okay, so he's coming. You need to bring, and then we're going to have a healing service right after that Sunday night. If you need healing in your body, we're going to have a supernatural God encounter all over. You know, Pastor Donnie's going to come up to close out the service. God bless you.
Hey, Rock Church family, it is the most wonderful time of year because it is Christmas time, and we want to celebrate this season with you.
Christmas weekend services will be taking place on Saturday, December 21st at 10 a.m., Sunday, December 22nd at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., 1:30 p.m. in Spanish, and a special Christmas Eve candlelight communion service happening on Tuesday, December 24th at 5 p.m. Be sure to stop by the inner foyer to grab your invite cards to invite those in your life to join us for Christmas at The Rock. Merry Christmas.
Christmas at The Rock is going to be so amazing. It always is. Such a presence of God, and God's going to show up. I know we did this earlier in the service. God was moving, but I'm going to do this again because I would just want to make sure that each and every one of you in this room has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You might be saying to yourself, what is a personal relationship? That means if you've given him all your heart and all your life. Because there's some trade-offs, some things that take place that if we don't have a relationship with Jesus. We could sit in this room tonight, we could sit in service after service, hear message after message, be touched by the worship, be touched by the word, but yet not have a relationship with God. Meaning if we walked out of this room tonight and our hearts stopped, or we walked out of this room tonight and we got in a car accident on the way home, or we walked out of this room tonight and ended up in the hospital and never came out because you end up dying. Meaning this, if you have a relationship with Jesus, that means you're not going to make it to heaven. I have to be honest with you and I have to be real with you tonight. If you're not saved, you don't have a relationship with him, you do not have a spot to walk into the kingdom of heaven. But here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to give everybody the greatest invitation of their life. You're saying, what is that, Pastor? Here's what it is. You knowing without a doubt, you being in this room tonight, you in this place saying, you know what? If I died tonight, Pastor, I don't know where I would go. I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I don't know if I'd go to hell. I would hope I can go to heaven. I would hope I can, you know, get to heaven in one piece and get there where God wants me to be. But here's the thing. You can't hope nowhere. And nowhere in the Word of God does it say you can hope your way into heaven. You might be saying to yourself, well, I think I might get there. Listen, you can't say, I think I'm going to make it to heaven and actually make it into heaven. You can't. It's either you're going to make it or you're not. You're either going to hear one of two things. You're going to stand before Jesus, and he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome to the kingdom of heaven forever and rejoice in eternity. Or you're going to hear these words, depart from me, I never knew who you were. But I thought God was a loving God. He acts, absolutely he is. But he's also a God that allows you to make a choice in your life. He's not a God that's going to force you into something. He's a God that says, if you choose to receive me, then you're choosing to receive a place in heaven. And so here's the thing. A lot of times we think because we go to church, we're going to go to heaven. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say because you go to church, you're going to go to heaven. A lot of times we think because we're good people that we're going to go to heaven. You could be as good as you want. You could be the best of the best, but that does not get you into heaven. Matter of fact, the Word of God says your good works are like filthy rags, meaning this, they're not anything to get you into heaven. You might be saying to yourself, well, Pastor, how do I get there? Glad you asked. Here's how. In a moment, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to go one, two, three. Bang, just like that. When you hear my hand go bang and my foot go like that, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond and say, Jesus, I want to receive you tonight. Now, I know some of you have already done this, and that's okay. We're gonna complete service as well. But there are other people in this room that may not have had a chance to do it. And maybe you came in late, or maybe you just weren't ready. But now you're ready to say, I want to surrender and give my life to Jesus. See, let me show you two things real quick. two pictures because I know this. We're a world and generations of pictures. We like to see things. Imagine this. Think about this for a moment. You're sitting in church tonight. You heard awesome worship. You heard the worship leaders close out the song, powerful song. God moves. God uses a message to speak to your life. God shows up. God starts speaking to you and doing things. But you walked out of this room tonight. You got in your car and you left. Or you went home tonight and an earthquake hit Southern California. Because how many know an earthquake can hit us at any time? But it's the one that wipes most of us out. And you might be in that most. And you're sitting in church tonight. And your life was gone. Bible says we're here one moment, we're gone the next. Life is like a vapor, here one moment, gone the next. Imagine this, you stand before Jesus tonight, and he says, do you remember when that loudmouth preacher said he was going to give you the greatest invitation of your life? And you're like, I remember. Do you remember when you said, he said, 1, 2, 3, bang, like that, and if you want to receive me, to raise your hand. And you said, I remember. But then he says this, you didn't raise your hand. You didn't receive me, so I can't receive you into the kingdom. Can I be honest with you? At that point, at that time, I think we would all have said, I wish I would have raised my hand. I wish I would have listened. I wish I'd have raised my hand in all the services. Come on. But at that time, he says, depart from me. I never knew who you were, and throws you into the lake of fire. Or here's another picture. Or check this out. You could be in church tonight, hear the worship, have an encounter with God, the words speak to you. Messages speak to you all weekend. You're excited, and all of a sudden you leave this place and you get in a bad car accident. And I don't wish that or pray that over anybody, but how many knows life happens and things happen in life, and you could be in that bad car accident and all of a sudden your life be taken in a moment, and you could stand before Jesus and him look at you and say, you remember that loudmouth preacher? You're like, I remember him. Do you remember when he said he's going to give you the greatest invitation? You're like, yes, I remember that greatest invitation. And do you remember when he said he was going to go 1, 2, 3, bang, like that? And you raise your hand if you want to receive me. And he goes, because tonight you received me, I receive you into my kingdom. Well done, good and faithful servant. Now think about this for a moment. Do you want to be in the first picture? Or do you want to be in the second picture? Well, pastor, I don't want to raise my hand. I might be embarrassed. Listen, you might be embarrassed, but you shouldn't be embarrassed. I'd rather be embarrassed for a moment than spend my whole life in eternity in hell. All because I couldn't raise my hand. Well, why do I got to raise my hand? The Bible says this, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. What is confession? A pop of a hand. But the next part says, but if you deny me, I'll deny you. I don't need no Jesus. What, you got a time and date when he's coming back for you? None of us know. But here's what you can know tonight. You can know tonight, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, you can know tonight that tonight you can receive him. You can know tonight that you could receive him in your heart and in your life. And you can know this, that if something did happen in your life, that you could stand before him and him say, well done, good and faithful servant. So who should do this tonight? If you're running from God instead of to God, I'm talking to you. Who else should do this tonight? If you've never given Jesus your whole life, your whole heart, who else should do this? Those who are lukewarm. What is a lukewarm? A little in, a little out. Never fully sold out for God. Never fully full-hearted for the things of God. But you're in and out, little in and out. Token prayer here and there. Lukewarm person, the Word of God says it like this. And here's what I find interesting. In Revelations chapter 3, he's speaking to the seven churches. He's not speaking to people outside of the church. Here's what I know. He knew there was going to be lukewarm people sitting in the church today. And he says, when I come back, not if I come back, but a matter of when I come back, I better find you hot or cold. Because if I find you lukewarm, I will vomit you from my mouth. In other words, this, you are not making an end to the kingdom of heaven. So tonight, I'm going to count to three. And if you're in this room tonight, you've never given Jesus your whole heart, your whole life, tonight is your night of salvation. If you're in this room tonight, and you're deciding to yourself, you've been lukewarm, and you're ready to rededicate your life, ready to come back to Jesus, tonight is your night of rededicating your life to Jesus. On three, from the front to the back to the side, all over this place. If that's you tonight, pop your hand up. 1, 2, 3, bang, anybody in this room, just pop your hand up right where you're at. I know I got some of you earlier, but is there anyone else? Thank you, I see you. Thank you, got you, thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Help me out if you see any more. I got you, bro, back there, I got you guys. 6. Where are you pointing? 6, right there. anymore. Six wise people, is there any more in this room? Any more? Those that raised your hand earlier, you don't got to raise your hand again. But at the end, they're pointing somewhere over here. Where are you pointing at, Isaac? Oh, seven. Got you. Is there any more? Just pop your hand up right where you're at. I didn't embarrass them. I won't embarrass you. It's between you and God tonight. Walk out of this room. I got you. Thank you. Walk out of this room tonight knowing that you have a personal relationship with Jesus and that you'll stand before him and he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. Is there any more? Seven wise people, is there any more? That's you, just pop your hand up. All over this room, just pop your hand up. All right, well, let's give God a praise. Come on, let's give God a praise for seven wise people tonight. So here's what I want to do is this. Is all of you at the very beginning of the service that said you wanted to receive Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. I know we said a prayer together, but I want to invite you guys to come up in front as well because I want to explain some information we have here as well. Also, for all those that just raised their hand, if we can all stand to our feet, everyone stand to their feet, and I'd like to invite you up, grab your purses, your coats, your friends, anyone next to you that need to come up. Come on up, church. Yeah, give them a hand and say, come up. Come on up if that was you tonight. Come on up, come on up, come on up, come on up. If that was you tonight, don't be embarrassed. Come on up, come on up. Come on, we're all praising with you guys tonight. We're praising with you guys tonight. Come on, church. If that's you tonight, come on, that's you. Bring them down, come on, church. If that's you tonight, come on up. If you didn't raise your hand, you should have raised your hand. Tonight's your night to come up and say, I need to receive Jesus. There are more that said they want to receive Jesus. Come on up. Thank you. Come on up, families. Come on up. Bring the family. Come on. Bring them to the family. Bring them to the family. Thank you. Come on, church. Give them up. Come on. They're coming. They're still coming down the aisles. They're still coming. Come on. Come on, church. They're still coming. Bless you, man. Bless you, brother. They're coming. Come on. They're coming. Well, isn't God good? Put a smile on your face. You guys are beautiful people. God's got great things for you guys tonight. Got great things for you. So here's what we're going to do is we're going to say a prayer. And you may have done this earlier and you came up. That's all right. Say it again. Get a double dose. It's all good. We're going to say a prayer. And we're going to invite Jesus into our life and our heart. And then after I pray, my friend right over here, Pastor Joel, nothing weird, nothing crazy goes on. He's a great guy, great man of God. He's going to walk with you guys, and he's going to share with you some information we have here at the church. You're thinking, what is that? Here's what it is, an SPT, spiritual personal trainer. Pastor, what is that? You know when you go to the gym and you have someone to train you, someone to spot you, someone to help you, even in sports, or you just have someone training you on the job? The same thing we do here as believers, because we know how hard it is for you to go back into the world. We know how hard it is for you to go back into the workforce and the things that you're in without a friend. And we want to provide a friend here to you to teach you for 5 weeks basic things out of the Word of God. Because here's why. I'm going to tell you something. If you can read your Bible and get into your Word and get an SBT, here's the thing, guys. Listen. Let me tell you this. It's going to change your life forever. It's not our preaching. It's not any of us pastors. It's God and His Word. And if you can get that into your heart and get that into your life, if you don't have a Bible, we'll get you one here. But if you can get that into your heart and get it into your life, here's the thing, it'll change your life forever. And then here's the next thing. Hear me on this. This is very important. You came to church tonight, you gave your heart to Jesus, and you got something from God. You got the greatest gift that you'll ever receive. Here's what I want to say to you guys. Give us 1 year of your life here at The Rock. 1 year. You're like, that's a long time. No, it's not. 1 year. And I guarantee you, where you are today, you couldn't even imagine where you'll be in a year. We have plenty of services here, Sunday morning, Saturdays, women's ministries, all kinds of services. You can get all the information from the Info Hub. You can talk to Pastor Joel. I'm sure he has flyers to give you guys. But get back into church because it's going to continue to change your life. And you'll continue to grow in the things of God. Man, we even got young adult services for you young people that are up here. And if there's any youth up here, we got youth service too. You got a crazy youth pastor, but you still got youth service. I'm the youth pastor, if y'all wondering who that crazy guy is. But let's do this. Let's pray. Let's invite Jesus into our heart. Repeat this after me. Father God, I come to you tonight, and I thank you for the opportunity that I have to give my heart to you. Jesus, come inside of my heart. Forgive me for my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Tonight, I believe that you died and you rose again from the dead. Holy Spirit, empower me. Fill me up. Help me be the Christian I'm called to be. And help me walk with you daily, Lord. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Come on, let's give God a praise. Go ahead and take this turn right here. Pastor Joel is waving at you. Go ahead and follow Pastor Joel. He's going to take you guys, give you some information, explain to you a program. Come on, church, let's give him a praise. Come on. Man, God is moving in this house. Come on. Thank you, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the message tonight. I want to challenge you to apply the Word of God to your life. Apply what you learned tonight. Take those notes. Study those notes from this morning. Study those notes from tonight. Study them from Wednesday night. Get the Word of God in your heart because it'll change your life forever. Here's what I want to do. I want to pronounce a blessing over you guys. So if you can, just lift your hands. Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. God, I pray a special blessing over every single person, God, that's in this room, Lord. God, I pray, God, as they face things in their life, God, you would remind them, God, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You would remind them, God, of Daniel, Lord. You would remind them, God, of what your word says. You would remind them of this message tonight, Lord. And Lord, I pray this, that anything and everything, God, their hands touch, God, that it would prosper. And Lord, with a great big shout, we say that the Inland Empire shall be saved. Love you guys. Bless you guys. Have a good night.
What a blessing it was hearing the Word of God tonight. If there's anybody need a person to talk to, we have our prayer team in front to pray with you, talk with you, believing God for your miracle. Don't forget we have service this Wednesday. Also our Christmas weekend service. Invite someone out next weekend. Look forward to seeing you here again. Thank you. God bless.
It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.